You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Fans of podcast horror and Halloween, Friday, October 25th in Austin, Texas at the Nomad Bar at 1213 Corona Drive, we have got an event for you. Attack of the Pod People is an unprecedented party to celebrate the season featuring members of OneOfUs.net, Double Toasted, The Night Owl, Horror Queers, Junk Food Cinema, Castle of Horror, Rage Select, Women in Caskets, and the Threequel Club, all performing onstage tributes to the season. All that, and you can get up and sing with Karaoke Underground or compete in our costume contest with prizes. RSVP is required for entry, so look our event up on Facebook or Eventbrite and join us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well.
All right, here we go.
We are going. Great. Going in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access, live at the Blind Tiger. Make some noise.
We're doing it live!
Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are pleased as punch to have our Blind Tiger live audience here in full effect. And we are happy campers to be talking about what today,
Regan? Okay, three topics. Listen up, people. Topic number one. The Earth is going to collide with the sun.
Holy fuck.
In summer movie fashion, tell us how we can save the planet and who's the actor slash actors fit for the job. Topic number two, tell us about your favorite or worst formal dance experience. Remember high school, guys. And topic number three, invent a new toilet seat. What special thing does it do?
Man, we're talking some...
it's real stuff, people.
Topics that are full of shit. And it's been about a month since we've been here.
It's kind of how it works,
right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's a month of the show.
We're here every third Friday at the Blind Tiger, and we are here. I'm actually I can't look him in the eye. I'm really just honored to have Samson Portillo, who's here in a vintage Venom shirt that you're wearing.
When'd you get that?
Fresh from Target.
So, right.
But that was like 1991 or...
Come on, that was like 90...
93?
Yes, that's 93.
McFarlane was that, did that?
Well, this one was different. McFarlane created Venom, but this was from the limited series. You have the...
Yeah. So when did you buy that? Back in 90...
Today.
Today.
He bought it today. Awesome. That's awesome. Right. Because yes, fucking right. Venom rules. Eddie Brock.
Stand up, we all can see it.
Oh, yeah, stand up.
Yeah, look at that.
Look cool that shirt is.
So... Today's episode is brought to you by Target. That's right, Target. For the thrifty nerd in you.
Yeah, what a Eddie Brock of shit.
They have Dragon Ball Z shirts, ramen shirts. You can get a shirt that says Coca-Cola. You can
you got a Ramon shirt that says ramen, but it's like ramen.
No, they're too legit. You can get a Beastie Boys shirt, and
they also sell the women's shirts that say things about wine way too close to the little girls' clothing. And if like you walk by, you're like, wait, is that shirt for a little girl that just likes to get drunk?
No, or? What it is, it's the wine moms that are buying, like, you know, they're too good for Walmart, right?
Oh yeah,
and they're like, these little assholes are going to grow out of these clothes in minutes, so let's buy some Archer Farms clothes, and they go and they buy the clothes, and they're like, I just want to get home, get drunk. Let the nanny watch these kids, and then rosé all day. That's totally me.
That's her.
$9.99.
Oh yeah.
This speaks to my truth.
Wine country, but then underneath in parentheses it says minus the O.
Yeah,
that's what the shirt says that, and it has the parentheses minus the O.
No, it's just cunt.
It actually spells wine country.
Like everything is in white, but cunt is in red. and it says Wine Country.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And yeah, because Target.
I was going to say Target, definitely. Yeah, and Becky's like, that's totally me, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
That's me, bitch.
This is on clearance from Halloween.
That's me, bitch. It's like, yeah, ma'am, please, it's Target.
This is Target.
Calm
no,
down.
No, that's me, bitch, is what I want on my Starbucks when you call my name.
That's me, bitch, is the other shirt she bought.
Yeah, that's a real shirt.
Shredded pork. Oh, no, you didn't. Wine Country. That's me, bitch. Lovely people.
I assume that they have a podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if that's still a thing.
So we are also sponsored,
By
the No Face Man coin box. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I certainly can.
People that aren't virgins?
Brant Bumpers, who's a great super friend of ours and a great super friend of mine, was very, very super kind and got me for my birthday, which was last month, a No Face Man coin box. No Face Man is a character from the movie Spirited Away. It's an anime film. Big old glob guy that just gets gluttonous and eats a whole bunch of food.
He just walks around and goes,
oh, sorry, spoiler. Has anyone ever seen Spirited Away?
Okay. You have?
Oh.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry about that.
Does anyone do hallucinogenic drugs? Okay. That's the only way you will ever enjoy Spirited Away. Because if you watch it sober, you're going to be like, this is bullshit.
I don't get it. Why is this little old lady with a giant nose flying around and then there's little...
Because she's a lechuza.
And then Disney's like, I'm buying it.
Because she's a lechuza.
It doesn't mean nothing.
Well, anyways, No Face
Disney
Man...
Disney princess.
No Face Man, the coin box, basically, you put little coins in his little bowl and then he eats the coin and he puts it away.
So what they did is they repurposed a racist... piggy bank.
Because No Face Man is all black with white face.
With white face, because for those of you...
This is from the film Bamboozled.
Has anyone seen Bamboozled? This was made out of some sort of metal, and it was a, hucking and jiving black man, and he had money in his hand, and he would go, meh. Mazamos, those racist things that exist. Remember, there was racism. Who hasn't seen
who
racism?
Who hasn't seen racism in our country?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, it's really uncomfortable.
Exactly.
And it's rampant.
And just like No Country for Old Men, the leader had a dream and then it ended. And so. Fuck you, that was hilarious. And so. So they did is they took the Satchmo piggy bank.
It's not Satchmo.
And then made it into it's Japanese.
Oh, ito bankaru.
Yeah.
Feed me your coins, dude.
Does it take card?
No, card, dude.
So who?
No, it takes it's pennies. Just, you put little. It just put little things and it goes rat and just eats it. Just a little cute little thing. You put a quarter there. It's for
who
kids.
Who saves coins?
I
and
do.
Kids don't like Spirited
Away.
But
Jess Castro fucking
that's not
does.
For kids,
no,
dude.
Yes, you like this. You like this.
Yeah,
because you're an old man. You like those wafer candies.
I still use coins. Like
you
an
still
old man.
Use coins. You have a coin purse?
Like No Country for Old Man.
That looks like a vulva.
I still buy cashews with quarters.
Remember the ones a bank would give you or like Southwestern Bell? And you just have that that vulva coin purse that you take out. All right.
Yeah.
Now it's 1762. Okay, here's a 20. All right, let me get your change. One second. Okay, we got 25. All right, that's 35. All right, that's going to be 40. That'll be 41. That's going to be 51.
What's this rapper doing in here?
Oh, man. Oh, looking for a condom. I'm just kidding, baby, sweetheart.
It might double as a diaphragm, that thing,
Diaphragm. That's old. That's old, too.
That's what I'm saying.
It makes
used to hand those things out.
It makes a
diaphragm?
Sure. It makes the same sound, too.
Okay, for women over 40, how did diaphragms work? Like, you just came in them?
Yeah, right? There was an episode of Seinfeld where Elaine had an issue.
No, that was the sponge.
Oh, was it the sponge?
Dental dam is just saran wrap so you can eat pussy, right? And then not get whatever the dirty whore has, right?
But what the fuck's happening? What is this? What is this? What's going on? I don't understand.
So I don't understand how a diva cup works.
I've never used
a diva cup is just a shot glass for blood, right? And then you just go, bah, right? In the shower?
I'm pretty sure that's switching.
I honestly don't know how it works. So I also don't know the reverse of how a diaphragm works. Does it go all the way up in your cervix? Or do you just pop, like, is there anyone from the 80s here?
No. You just ask people upstairs after the show.
Yeah, like at the kids' restaurant. Like, hey, Jack Sparrow, come here. Right? Do you know how a diaphragm works?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yar.
I can't do a Jack
Sparrow. Has anybody seen?
Hold on. King of Impressions. Do a Jack Sparrow.
That's me, bitch. Yeah. Because it's a Jack Sparrow upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's not real Jack Sparrow. That's, right, that's your five and dime.
So you go up, and ask Elastigirl, how does fucking the diaphragm work? She's like, I didn't need one because I had a special power to shoot cum out of with my fucking
Vulva. I don't even know what's happening. What is going
what
on?
What is happening?
What is that? Well, anyways, this no face man coin box from Brant Bumpers, I highly appreciate it. Thank you, Brant Bumpers. It's a wonderful gift. It's super great.
But it has underlying racism to it, which is a classic Brant Bumpers gift.
Yeah. And also a classic Japanese move. Let's just
say. Oh, right. Yeah, repurposing racism.
Because racism doesn't exist in Japan. They don't get it.
Oh, what?
No, they don't get it. It exists in Japan, but they don't get that it's racist.
Because there's no black people.
It's
in
a
Japan.
Country. It's basically a country of a bunch of old people going, oh, like, what happened to your little black friend? That's the right. whole country. That's Japan. That's what Japan is.
It's
like
old Japan, which is nothing wrong. There's no
wrong intent, but that's how they viewpoint. Yeah, I remember that when I was.
Aren't they racist to like Filipinos?
Look, everybody's racist.
Fucking Chinese, bro.
Well, it's kind of vice versa. There's a grudge in there. Well, anyways, this great movie has no racism in it. It is pure, unadulterated joy. And there's nothing wrong with this coin box. It is perfectly innocent. I love it.
Do they have diaphragms in Japan?
Probably.
Pikachus. Thank you. Very good. Pocket monsters. Yeah, that is very good reference, Brant. And like I said, underlying racism.
Why?
So thank you very much about that. So
it's not even underlying racism. It's blatant racism.
That's underlying. He's talking about the pop culture. I didn't say Spikachu or anything like that. I've heard that before.
That's awful. No laughter for that.
Yeah, it's like it's a water type because it's a wetback. So we
put a pinchy peed.
Got to catch them all. Send it back. And so we appreciate your vote.
What's happening? What the fuck's happening? What's happening?
Listen.
Why?
Listen to our MCU ranking. Shop at Target. They're all sponsors of today's podcast.
We're all big fans.
That's funny that all that stemmed from Samson's Venom shirt.
Look what you
did. No, it went to your birthday.
And then the birthday went on. It's...
Yeah.
What I like is I'm going to purchase that Venom shirt.
Venom. The Eminem has a song at the end of Venom. That sounds.
Has anybody seen Venom movie?
So we appreciate you coming, and I hope you enjoy this podcast. And ladies, put in your diaphragms because it's gonna get raw.
What?
Oh,
Elastigirl isn't here.
No, Elastigirl is here. Yeah, yeah. Elastibooty, man. Oh man, Elastigirl is a gaper. Jess, what do we have going on?
Yeah, let's get to this question. I want to know where this question stems
well,
from.
Well, hey everybody, it's time for the first topic of the evening. It's my segment of the show that I like to call Yeah, and we'll look into that. It's a segment where I talk about movies and video games and TV shows and stuff like that, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listener after said junk is going to be Yeah, I'm gonna look into that. So this week I am talking about the film which happens to be the second highest grossing movie in the world.
Aladdin.
Right behind Endgame, right behind Avengers Endgame, is not Captain Marvel. It is a Chinese film called Wandering Earth. The Wandering Earth. Never heard of it? Neither did I until a week ago. But apparently it is the second highest grossing movie in the world.
It's on Netflix, right?
And it is now on Netflix.
Oh, it's just called... seen by half of China.
Yeah, well, yeah exactly. And that's enough. China. All of China. And so... I started watching The Wandering Earth, and it's, like, funded by China. Like, it has this really kind of, like, questionable, Jesus. Like, logo. Like, it's just really weird. Like, funded by the Chinese government.
Questionable things. Yeah, that's crazy.
So, anyways, this movie made a shitload of money in China, and Wandering Earth is a film about the sun is going to collide with the fucking Earth. We are.
Is that how they
that
say
is
it?
How the story. It's like, fuck! What's happening? So the Earth is going to collide with Earth, and humanity has to find a scientific way to basically stop the madness. So they come up with this amazing, amazing plan called the Wandering Earth Project. So they make this giant moon base that puts the world's smartest and best people on a satellite.
All Chinese.
No. Worldwide. It's very universal. There's a Russian dude. There's an American dude. Chinese. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's multicultural.
Got it.
Yeah. And so basically they fly the ship to basically be like the... Yes?
Quick question. I apologize.
Yes.
But because this is a foreign film, right, did the Russian and the American...
Everybody's speaking their correct language.
What?
Yes.
They know how to do movies over there.
Yes.
That's awesome. Chinese,
they don't dick around. Is there a Jamaican?
I think so. But mostly it's just Chinese people. It's a Chinese movie.
God, no, I understand it. Flat out. It's just like when I see Coming to America and I wonder why Akeem and his dad aren't speaking like Swahili.
Right. Yeah. No, this movie, like the Chinese guy is speaking Russian to the Russian guy and the Russian speaking Russian. Yeah.
Awesome.
And there's English guys speaking English.
Right. Don't spoil it. There. Don't spoil it.
So going back to the premise of the film before Samson spoils the film is that the Wandering Earth Project... The Wandering Earth Project is a giant satellite that basically leads Earth to a different solar system. How do you do that, you ask? Well, basically...
Ruin it. I don't want to know.
This is the premise, you asshole. It's nothing to spoil.
Don't call Samson an asshole.
I can't help it. He spoiled Venom for you, and I'm just being defensive of my friend.
Thank you, Jez.
So all of Earth basically migrates to what one half of the world, and they basically like put giant rockets on the side of the planet.
Sure.
Like just like half the planet on one side of the sphere, they line up with rockets, and that propels Earth to fly to a completely different solar system.
Because it's flat.
No, yeah, well, okay. Yeah, exactly.
It's like a frisbee.
Yeah. Right. And then the Wandering Earth is a ship that's leading to the you know, like, hey, follow us type of thing.
It's
right?
Dragging
that wouldn't affect our climate at all.
Oh, that wouldn't affect the gravitational pull. Sure, exactly.
Yeah, what the hell?
And it's Chinese-made rockets, so it's got the ability to push tons.
So to be fair, right, like they do it and it's working, but they don't even get to Jupiter before the planet starts to suffer from major cataclysm.
Jupiter? That's so far away.
But think of it in perspective of going to a completely different solar system. They're not even close.
Okay, my God, that's my whole problem with this. Okay.
So
get to the question.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. Second highest grossing movie in the world. That's what's happening. Like this movie... It knocked it out of the park, and people were like, fuck, yeah, this is our Armageddon, right?
Right.
Right, because it's just absolute nonsense. It doesn't make any sense.
Armageddon.
No, that's not what it is. Anyways, I thought it was a great source of a topic for our show, and the topic is...
We have a podcast.
We do have a show. We have a podcast. The topic is, the sun's colliding with the Earth! Holy fuck! What are we going to do? So what I asked the audience to do is come up with a solution to save the Earth in a sci-fi, big-budget, summer blockbuster fashion. What is the way we're going to save our planet? And in said movie scenario, who's the man or woman to do the job? How you doing it? Here's my plan. First up, fuck everybody, Jason Statham. That's how it's happening.
Boom.
Fucking Jason Statham's happening. And because... Wandering Earth is a Chinese movie. I like to bring up that The Meg, last year's summer blockbuster where Jason Statham fought a fucking megalodon.
Shark the size of the sun.
Yeah. So what I think, I think my movie is the sequel to The Meg. And so Jason Statham, still mad at the megalodon. It's a goddamn megalodon. You know, so like that's...
Killer Jason
thank you.
Statham.
So Jason Statham...
It's as good as your fucking Jack Sparrow.
So Jason Statham as this character from The Meg, celebrating his, you know, very drunk off of his celebration of killing the megalodon, he realizes that the reason why the Earth is colliding with the sun is because all the megalodons that are kind of like in the water, right, they're starting to mate at a drastic level. So their weight has changed the amount of water in the Earth.
They're and power so, fucking the Earth away from the sun.
So they're displacing the water with their mass, is what he means.
So these megalodon...
God damn it. This whole topic's going to make me go so...
With megalodons.
No,
come on, man.
No, hang on a second here. Let me get to the science of this, right? Yeah. So these megalodons... these megalodons fuck like rabbits and shoot out like babies like frogs. So it's like, you know how like frogs just tadpole, tadpole, tadpole. It's just megalodon, megalodon, megalodon. Fucking megalodons everywhere. So there's so many megalodons in the ocean, they start to offset the bounds of the ocean where it's just flooding and all this other shit. So the gravitational pull of the Earth is set off course. So normally here's the Earth spinning around in its axis, but because all the fucking megalodon just fucking like
they're only
just,
wait, hold on, by South out. America.
Wait. The megalodons make us go towards... I thought the Earth was going towards the sun to begin with.
The megalodons are changing the gravitational pull. So here's this. Here's like... Okay.
It's pulling the sun.
Yeah. So it's here's Earth spinning around.
It's a dying
and it's
star, going, man.
It's impossible.
God damn it. This is my
child. This whole movie's impossible.
I know.
Rockets can't move planets.
Raccoons don't talk.
God damn it.
They can't build guns.
Sure they can.
Purple guys don't eat planets.
My megalodons fuck like rabbits and they birth like frogs.
Oh, is that to save the Earth?
No, that's what causes the Earth to kind of break off the orbit.
Black Widow has no special powers, yet she beat an alien. All
right.
Continue.
Now, look, here's the thing. So the megalodons are fucking, right? And they basically set off the orbit of the planet. And Jason Statham's like, we gotta do something about those megalodons. They're fucking like crazy because if they don't adjust the course of the Earth will break off the orbit. And that's why it's colliding toward the sun. So basically, Jason Statham has to fucking kill, like, ape shit loads of megalodons. Like, not
fuck
one...
Fuck and kill or fucking kill?
Fucking kill.
Okay, I was like...
But him killing them doesn't change the size of the mass that's in the goddamn ocean.
It doesn't matter because he has a romantic interest who is Chinese, and so he does fuck and kill. Spoiler alert, I don't mean to spoil the movie, but that's the one thing...
I don't mean to pull a Samson here.
If there's one thing that the Met did lack, it lacked dick. That's what it lacked. Yeah. It lacked. They tease me.
Oh, they
me.
Got gorilla dicks? They got
they
those little pinky dicks?
With shirtless Jason Statham. He's like, I just got out of the shower. And then like the Chinese girl's like, ooh. So I want to expand on that scene and give the people what they want. Make their Meg rated R. More shark killing, more sharks fucking, more Jason Statham fucking, more shark killing.
But all the pubes are... pixelized.
that's Japan.
Oh,
yeah. China's all totally cool.
They're cool. It's just
well, anyways, that's the whole plan. The world's orbit has been offset and it's been knocked off its course. It's heading toward the Earth. It's up to Jason Statham to kill as many megalodons as they
can. And he doesn't kick the Earth.
Well, here's the thing.
Kick
so
the sun.
The megalodon has all this like special oils in the actual skin. So with all that megalodon chum and like flubber and all that stuff, they find
flubber.
The
Robin Williams movie.
No, like flubber, like whale flubber, blubber.
Gee, there, blubber. God damn it,
mubbler. Because it's megalodon
no, you know
blubber.
What? For this to make sense, it's flubber.
It's flubber, anyways. Yeah, so. Sure. So. One, the megalodon flubber feeds the planet plenty of shark meat to go around for everybody. Two, the flubber burns at a like incredible rate, so like oils and all that shit, like all the other like resources of the Earth,
and it bounces
basically
like crazy.
Flubber basically fills in the gap for all these things, and flubber fuels the engine that they used in fucking Wandering Earth because it's a spinoff, and they have to build one rocket. They don't have to build several rockets. That was the problem with Wandering Earth. It's a bunch of rockets. Well, they all can fuck up. We have that one powerful rocket powered by Megalodon Blubber.
A giant
Jason Statham helped build it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Giant flubber ball that bounces between the Earth and
well,
the
that's
sun.
Your, no,
don't
that's,
be ridiculous.
That, yeah,
don't.
Yeah,
no. This is science.
This is science.
This is really science. So, yeah, my movie, it's The Meg 2. But it you know, there's lots of shark fucking. Jason Statham's topless. We get to see some Asian titty in there somewhere.
What?
You have this really rambunctious Jamaican dude who's like the guy from The One Meg. And then Rainn Wilson, it turns out that he's still alive and he comes back for the sequel.
Wait, he dies in The Meg?
Yeah.
Fucking
sorry, my bad.
Samson, dude.
Dear
okay, my
God.
I took this seriously. I know,
yeah.
I know you.
I took it seriously too. I thought about the science, man.
Well, I thought I know you're being funny and stuff, but
God damn, no.
If I want someone to know about climate and weather and how to prevent, you know, unwanted things from coming in, my answer is Donald Trump, and he is going to build a wall on the southern border of the Earth. So
wait, what?
Yeah, the southern border of the Earth and the South Pole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you know when the sun sets, that's when it's closest to the Earth.
Okay. I mean, no.
And what's gonna happen
is because that's where he put the border. It's going to confuse all the Mexicans, and they're going to rush towards the South Pole, right? And doing so, they're going to jump the wall, and because they're the people of the sun, they...
Wait, they're the people of the sun?
Yeah, the Mexicans.
They're, okay, right.
Yeah, are the people of the sun. They're, the sun's going to be like, oh, those are my people, my bad. And then then the sun's going to go back where Donald Trump wants every unwanted thing, go back where it came from, and establish gas, which thus, you know, produces clean coal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are going to be able to survive millennium thanks to our honorable leader
and founding father
Donald Trump. Which, and then he's going to have his face not on the in addition to Mount Rushmore, mm-hmm. but you know how like tattoo cover up artists work, so they're going to have a cover up sculptor like take all four of those dudes. It was like Teddy Roosevelt, Lincoln, who's on it?
Babadook,
Obama, Rodney Dangerfield, and fucking take all those
Zachary
guys.
Quinto?
Yeah.
Oh, Zachary Taylor.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thomas. 14th, Zachary 14th Taylor. President. Zachary Taylor Thomas is going to be re-sculpted into one massive Trump, and then we're all going to honor him like we should. And he's not only going to make America great again, he's going to make the world great again.
Yeah. What's the name of the movie? Equator Hater?
Huh?
Equator Hater? What's the name of your movie?
Oh, it's just going to be called 2020. Yeah, that's all it's going to say.
That's a good, yeah, I like all it.
Right,
yeah.
Or the Megalodon.
MAGA.
Megalodon.
That was an assist from an audience mate. Yeah, like thank that. You very much. Megalodon. But yeah,
it's
no.
It's a goddamn Megalodon.
It's going to be called 2020.
Good sweet Lord.
There's already a movie called 2020.
Oh, fuck. All right, then.
About the end of the world, too.
You know, yeah, if forget the movie.
So just if the Earth was to move slightly, like just mile, like it did a couple of miles.
All right, if you guys want to grab a drink, Gover, he's going to be all serious.
Everything would change. Our entire climate would shift drastically with just a small amount of
exactly,
change.
Yeah, exactly, just like my Megalodon.
Everyone, movie. I don't, okay. So mine comes down to real science. So check it out. They're figuring out the Earth is slowly, God, collide? The Earth would never collide. Anyway.
The end.
Yeah. It's slowly moving. They're like, oh my gosh, for some reason, we're moving closer, slightly closer at a very slow rate, but still far strong enough to burn us all. We need to stop this, right? We need to offset all of the stuff that's going on. And they just can't figure it out. There's no way there's no way rockets can work. There's no way megalodons can work. They've tried everything.
Samson, man.
They've run it through every freaking Tony Stark simulation of how we can, and they just can't figure it out to one day. One day, the scientist is eating with chopsticks. He's eating Chinese food.
Yeah, that's key. With chopsticks. For when
trying to figure out how are we going to stop our planet from hitting the Earth. And in the background is an old 80s movie playing called Real Genius.
All right. Yeah.
And there's spoiler alert.
Has anyone seen Real Genius? I haven't.
Where at the end, a laser beam gets shot down in this dude's house where apparently they grabbed a bunch of popcorn together. And explodes all of this popcorn in this fun, hilarious mess. Zany way to end a movie with a freaking satellite laser system to kill people. Anyway, so he's like, wait a second. Popcorn. It's something that as it gets hot. Yeah, he's got the chopsticks in his hands. Chopsticks. He's eating the noodles.
Out of
it's
the
like
box.
Popcorn. The hotter it gets, the more it explodes. It's not an explosion in a sense, but it is enough kinetic energy that it could offset all of this that's going on. So we need to get as much popcorn as possible, but we need the perfect popcorn. Who can we call? They made 13 phone calls, people. Every single one of them came back to one person. Kent Redenbacher.
Nice. Redenbacher. I was going to say Orville.
Orville Redenbacher's great, great, great grandson, played by Ryan Gosling.
All right. Sweet. Let me guess. He's been out of the popcorn game for like 10 years.
He got out of the game a long time ago. Yeah, he gave it up.
Yeah.
He lives on a ship.
Are over.
He lives on a ship. He's been drinking a lot. He's on an oxygen machine, just like Zodiac.
No. He's in just short shorts with a perfect tan the whole time.
Yeah, it's Ryan Gosling.
A helicopter with buoys flies down. They go, we made 13 phone calls, and they all came back to you, man. We need you to make us the perfect popcorn. God damn it. If this is save the world, all right, I'll do it. So sure enough, they fly him back to NASA. They whip up some of the best popcorn that's ever been made. They make it in giant, giant barrels, and then they fly it out. They get it just close enough to the sun to where it explodes, popping, creating enough kinetic energy to offset whatever was pulling us towards
That's the Cardi Earth. B's husband.
And it sort of it sets it up, sets it off, saves the world. Ryan Gosling wins.
But he's like, they're like, what can we do to help you? And then he turns to the camera and he's like, give me some overrated vodka.
Wow.
Like, it's just like a long commercial.
I've done the math. The science checks out on my theory. Popcorn would work. End of story.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know.
Well, real quick, very important question. Butter, kettle, or original?
Lightly salted.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah.
I mean, they did the test, and that's what worked.
That's okay, got
the
it.
The butter would create too much heat.
Yeah, because of the flubber.
Yeah.
Right.
Movie butter, that was a mess. That just ruined everything.
It just
I think I just love the scene.
Home style wasn't enough.
I love the scene of Ryan Gosling.
I love popcorn, by the way, so. Lightly salted.
This is the scene of Ryan Gosling saying, I can't do it. I haven't popped popcorn in 15 years. And he's just like,
on his abs.
The name of the movie is called This Side Up, which is what's on the bottom of popcorn bags.
Oh, Sunny Side Up.
Careful when opening.
This Side Up.
Yeah.
Careful when opening. When opening.
No, that's
no, that's the
post. That's a subtitle.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Because it's Ryan Gosling.
Oh, God, he's so hot.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man.
All right, man.
Yeah. Damn straight, right? Let's make it.
So if you have an answer, please go to that microphone
there. These are all co-produced by Chinese production companies, by the way. Yeah.
This one was a hard one. I understand this was a hard one to answer, but, you know, don't be pussies. All right, so if you can get in line behind Joe, we're going to read what we have on social media first.
Okay, yeah. Facebook answers. Alfred Perez says, it's called Maleficent, a crazy former NASA scientist played by Tilda Swinton. Is it a man? Is it a woman? Who cares? It's Tilda. Who is now a dairy farmer, gets the idea that all the people of the earth gather all the cows into one region and light their flatulence to propel us away from the sun. Kind of checks out. No one agrees that so the earth burns up except for Tilda and her family, who are now up in space in a cow-propelled rocket called Maleficent.
Well, she is Chinese, right?
Yeah,
according to Marvel.
Yeah.
Maleficent, I like it.
Brian Benitez says, a hotshot scientist invents giant repulsors to attach to the sun to get it back home, played by Tim Conway. Oh.
Yeah.
Justin Wilcoxon says we send a shuttle to blow up the sun.
But we'll do it at night.
But we do it at night so no one gets burned.
That's Mr. Show. Yeah.
The unlikely astronaut duo of Kevin Hart and The Rock volunteer for the mission. Plot twist, they were in a video game the whole time.
Oh, God.
Hashtag Jumanji in space.
Yeah. Sunshine 2.
Milo says Ernest saves the Earth by using a Christmas sleigh from Ernest Saves Christmas to reorbit the planet like Superman did in the Superman movie. That works. That checks out. That science checks out like crazy.
But like the head scientist is named like Vernon whatever. Yes. And he's like, hey, you know what I mean, Vern? Yeah.
And it'd just be called Ernest Saves the World. Really simple and really sweet. Yeah. Oh, man, everyone loves Ernest.
Instead of Ernest, Ernest has giant sharks fuck the sun.
Travis K. says, in their Return to Hollywood scientist couple, Fat Val Kilmer, who was in Real Genius, and Kirstie Alley are on a date. After their kids, played by Fat Jonah Hill and Rebel Wilson, have finally gone to college. While on their date, the Earth was hit by an asteroid and the tilt has been thrown off, causing it to go careening off to a crash course with the sun. In an action rom-com, this dysfunctional family must reunite, guided by ghosts of John Candy, Chris Farley, Ralphie Mae, Biggie Smalls, Yokozuna, and more. They'll gather all the fattest people in the world and bring them to one spot. Their mission? To tilt the Earth enough to avoid the sun and put it back in stable orbit. Coming this summer, Fat Earth, Full Tilt.
Wow, that's good. And all those are dead fat people.
Directed by Eddie Murphy. Directed and starring Eddie Murphy. And he's just...
He plays
just,
all
it's
the characters.
Professor 3.
He plays John Candy.
He plays all those people.
Nicholas Lucero says, it's got to be Michael Cera, John Heder, or one of Pete's from that show, Pete and Pete. Wes Anderson's going to direct it. No one's getting saved. That's all our Facebook hit.
I guess we're getting built. I guess we're getting burned up by the sun.
Score by Paul Simon.
All right, real life answers.
So I wrote
your name,
this,
sir.
Joey. Hello,
Hi,
how's
Joey.
It going, guys? I wrote this script when I was 13.
Nice.
And
are you gonna read the whole thing?
Whole thing, all 400 pages. Starts out dark skies, meteors coming.
All right.
All right.
They immediately enlist Jake Gyllenhaal yeah. as Mysterio to build.
You wrote this 13 years ago.
Exactly. I'm a fucking genius. And he has to make a shield of Demper Dams and Diva Cups.
How appropriate, man. It's like I was
13, guys. Come on. I wasn't so sure.
No, it was that time quantum realm that you went into earlier.
Health class.
Yeah.
But the moral of the story is he still doesn't know what a diaphragm is. And it could have ended the movie 5 minutes in. And he just never figured it out. And so he was stuck with Diva Cups. So
yeah, exactly. Throw blood on the sun and you're good.
I like it. It's called Diva Cup.
That's me, bitch.
That's me, bitch.
Wine country.
What's good?
Your name, sir?
Justin.
Justin. Yeah,
Justin. Justin. So this is a difficult question for me.
Fucking hell. Yeah, it was.
But I don't know how you'd stop the sun from colliding with the earth.
Which I just told you, it's popcorn.
Right. Well, I mean, there's popcorn, but we can't get pandas to make babies. So, you know, but maybe we're not putting the time that we need to there.
Yeah,
but
whatever, jerk off a panda, make him come in his
whatever we do, I want to see Danny McBride in those last 24 hours. Yeah.
Think it'd be hilarious. Big old titties.
Yeah. As long as he says that and pushes a button.
Yeah. Or we could go the
interstellar. Has anyone seen Tropic Thunder?
Or we could go the interstellar route and send Matthew McConaughey to open Matt Damon from like a Capri Sun packet.
Anyone seen Interstellar and the Matt Damon shit potato movie? What's that one called?
The Martian.
Shit potatoes.
Martian.
Martian.
Shit potatoes.
It's called Shit Garden.
Because he's Irish, right? He's like, yeah, you fuck him. Of course you figure out a way to make potatoes out of shit. You mud shovel and Mick. Go to Mars.
It's just 2.5 hours.
The planet's red like your hair, you ginger faggot.
Jeez, come on, man.
I didn't write it. I'm just quoting The Martian.
Yeah. Just Matt Damon with a Boston accent for fucking 2.5 hours. Yeah. You want your potatoes? Make fucking potatoes.
I make fucking me a rat, you rat fuck. Has anyone seen The Departed? All right.
You want disco? Get fucking disco. I love potatoes. What the fuck are you talking about?
I can't get hard. All right, so.
Well, anyway, speaking of rock hard potatoes, The Wandering Earth is the world's second highest grossing film of 2019. Captain Marvel broke the billion mark, but here comes Wandering Earth with its fucking science. And it's fucking
without
like,
its science.
Oh, dude, it's
the
fucking
government
flawless.
Paid to be the second grossing.
You gotta see the logo. The opening. I love Asian films because it's guaranteed to be a great time if there's like 7 production logos before the movie starts.
Yeah.
And The Wandering Earth does not disappoint with a knockout number of 5.
Right.
That's great. 5 production logos, I'm on board. So The Wandering Earth, you can watch it. I just said Wandering Earth. The Wandering Earth.
Well, that's if fucking Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Wandering Earth is on Netflix. Yeah, I'm going to look into that. It's worth every penny. And you can watch it dubbed, too, if you're, like, racist.
If Matt Damon's clip was just, look, I can't get hot! Like, that was it. So now it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
Hooray. So make some noise if you are a parent. Parents, make some noise. Ooh.
Just a couple.
Ooh. Yeah. So we are barely outnumbering this time. Yeah,
Absolutely. You have a kid.
As a human being,
kid?
Come out of your vagina that wasn't just
and
a penis.
You have a kid.
Okay, yeah, so you are a mother. So I'm a dad. And so you when you have your little baby bundle of joy and you have your little girl, there's a lot of stereotypes that come with it, you know, like, oh, daddy better get your shotgun. And, you know, oh, I can't wait to prom night because, oh, man, and I'm going to pump iron and load my gun and all this stuff like that. But if you have my scenario and you have a daughter first and you have all those stereotypes, and then you have a son, then you think to yourself, some cocksucker started loading his pistol just because he was taking out his whore of a daughter. Like, I'm going to fuck that guy up. So I'm not going to be that dude. So you're caught kind of in the middle of like still wanting to intimidate this guy. But at the same time, you have a son and karma's a bitch, right? So my topic question is, tell us about your favorite
or worst formal dance experience.
Is she going to dance?
So my daughter is going to her first middle school former dance. She's an eighth grader, and she's got a boyfriend.
What is it? Is it called something? Is it just called formal dance?
Yeah, it's called the eighth grade formal.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
does
I know.
Does it have a theme?
Huh? It fucking better. Like, it better be fucking sun colliding with the earth so everyone could just be in constant panic.
Infinity gowns.
But, but you know, her dude's a rocker dude, and I dig that because if he's very shy and he's a very good kid, so he's not going to dance with her. And
what?
That makes me happy because if she was dating some fucking, like, you know, Jordan wearing fucking tapered leg asshole, he would probably be grinding up on her like during the Macarena. And so
they'd play the Macarena?
Yes, because of Hotel Transylvania 3.
Does he have that oddly popular, like, weird Mexican Aztec short, like, bowl cut thing that a lot of boys? Thank goodness.
Cool.
All right.
he's really good at guitar.
Oh, man, you're going to be like, hey, you're going to be cool dad with him. You're going to turn your chair around and be like, hey, man.
Yeah,
look,
it's like, yeah.
I've been there.
Man. Hey, man, you know what? You start off with, you know, Stairway to Heaven, and then you work your way up to Dust in the Wind. But I'll tell you what, brother.
I'm fucking a wrestler all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Right? You practice right, and you're going to get creeping death like that.
Yes, sir. Please, sir.
Yeah, exactly. No, I intimidated him the first time I met him, and he was 11. And now, and I felt kind of bad about it because all I did was say, like, hey, how's it going? How are you? Okay. And that fucking scared the shit out of him. And so, obviously, he was meant for my daughter. And, because I wasn't rude, right? I wasn't fucking packing a gun or anything. And so it makes me think back to my days and why the topic question is tell us about your favorite or worst formal dance experience. And mine is actually both. It's my favorite and my worst because it was the first time and only time I have ever been used for my looks. I'll explain. So I'm not the best looking guy in the world. But looking back at my high school pictures, I was fucking hot.
You were fine.
I didn't think of it at the time. I had really low self-esteem, but I was a fucking twink, man. I could have gotten some theater owner to buy me whatever I wanted, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
Man. Oh, dude, yeah. I could have fucking been all over that ranch. And so, like... there is this chick. So here's the thing. So I grew up in the hood, right? And I was into like rock and all this stuff, right? And so all of the girls that were available for me were ratas. They were hood rats, and like I was around real fucking ratas, and they were all into freestyle music and hip hop, and I liked hip hop, but not that kind of hip hop, right? And there was this like booty dancing music, right? Like DJ Laz and all that sort of shit. And so this girl would visit like on the football games because she went to this all girls school, and I went to a co-ed Catholic school. And she looked like this rocker chick. She dressed all grungy. She had a cardigan. You know, it was fucking really pretty. And I really liked her. So I told my friends, like, hey, hook me up with your friend. You know, fucking diamond in the rough of all these fucking, like, chicks with kids and shit. And, like, she looks like, you know, she's still a virgin. And so she doesn't know what a diaphragm is. And I was like, hook me up. But they never did. And then finally, I get a phone call, right? You know, I pick it up. I didn't recognize the number. And it's like, hey, this is Larry. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, hey, this is, I won't use a real name, Marissa Villasenor. And so I'm like, oh my God, yeah. Hey, what's up? Really excited because I liked her. And she was like, straight to the point, she was like, I was wondering if you wanted to go to my prom with me. And she was like a grade below me. So she was like a junior. Well, she was a grade below me, but didn't below me because it turned out. That I took her, met her parents, took pictures, corsage, all that stuff, met up with all of her friends. And what was kind of weird, and I should have been suspect that she was hanging out in my ghetto-ass school, was that all of her friends were all ratas. She didn't look like one or dress like one, but all of her friends were just fucking hood rats, right? And so we go to the dance. She doesn't want to dance. And I'm like, come on, let's dance. Have a good time, blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't. She's like, I'm shy. No, stop. And I'm like, all right. And then a slow song comes up. And I'm like, all right, well, dance this slow song with me, blah, blah, blah. You know, I really like you a lot. You know, maybe we can go out some other time, you know, outside of just, you know, this fucking $1,500 expense that we just spent. And maybe we can just go get popcorn, save the world, right? And she was like, well, I don't know if, you know, my boyfriend would really like that. And I was like, you're who? And she was like, yeah, I'm kind of talking to somebody. And I'm like, and I literally said this, and I wasn't a rude kid, but I literally said, then why the fuck did you ask me to prom, right? She's like, well, she was really self-conscious about her hood rat friends. She goes, I don't want my friends to make fun of me because my boyfriend's kind of a dork and he's not that cute. And I didn't want him to be mean to him. And you're real cute, so I wanted to ask you so they wouldn't make fun of my boyfriend.
Poor real boyfriend.
Yeah, no joke. Exactly. Jeez. That was a shit move on her end. To hurt this fucking handsome man or boy, yeah. Man boy,
yeah.
And then hurt this fucking dork who fucking buys superhero shirts at Target. And, you know, he was at home waiting in his brand new fucking...
This was 93, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was his brand new Submariner shirt, just waiting for her to come by. And, they should make a Venom movie. And, like, I was like, well, that's dick. And I was like, okay, well, thanks. And so it was this weird kind of like, I was real hurt, but now that I look back at it, I got fucking used, man.
Hell yeah.
Good job, dude. It was pretty good. So that's my best worst formal story.
That's a good best worst.
That is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're paying with somebody else's gain or vice versa.
No, both of us got hurt.
I guess so.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's one time like this real modest girl got like trained by like 8 guys. I find it later.
And what's that going to do?
Just an interesting thing. I wasn't involved in it. Like, I heard about it, but it was like the real sweet, quiet girl that had the same boyfriend since she was like in 8th grade. She was all like, hey, train me.
Yep.
Yeah.
So she doesn't live in Alabama.
No, yeah.
All right.
Use the diaphragm.
Who wants to go? I'll go next. Mine's the best, sure. Worst, last, and only.
All right.
And it wasn't even formal. It was the 7th grade Valentine's dance. 7th grade.
You didn't do any in high school?
Here's what. So, 7th grade, I ride the bus, right, with a girl. I won't use her name. Let's just call her Nashley Nenderson. Nashley.
Nenderson.
Nashley Nenderson with the Wood Middle School.
Hey, what year was this?
I don't know how old I am. Anyway, I had a crush on Nashley. And riding the bus home, I was talking to her, and she said she was going to the Valentine's dance. Woo! Valentine's dance. I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. I could go there. She's going. She doesn't have a boyfriend. Maybe I can go and talk to her and maybe dance with her. Fast forward to the Valentine's dance, and I get dropped off by my old man. I get off. I meet a couple of my friends.
What are you wearing?
I'm probably blue jeans and some like weird Gap shirt that I got from my older brothers.
Oh, nice, yeah. Dude.
Yeah, hand me down. Anyway,
part in the middle, right?
7th grade. I think I had a mullet, maybe.
Oh, right on. Yeah. Yeah. Why wouldn't she?
Yeah. Rat tail?
No rat tail. I never did rat tail, but I did do a good old mullet. So I walk in and, you know, maybe we're like 10 minutes into this goddamn Valentine's dance and they're doing the chicken dance.
Yeah.
I guess it's appropriate for a 7th grade Valentine's dance. Yeah. But all of a sudden I wondered, I'm at school. This is dumb. I don't know why anybody does this. I'm wasting my time.
Right.
And so I just left. I walked outside and just stood outside.
But you didn't ask Nashley Nenderson?
Oh, crap. I mean, looking back on it, I completely forgot. Like, I was upset. I was like, wait, it clicked. I don't know if anybody else understood that. And so from then on, every dance, I never went to homecoming, never to prom. I was like, why do I want to go to these things full of people I don't like?
So you being frugal... is what caused
in
you
addition to, like,
Jesus, Regan?
Yeah, so I was like, I ain't doing this.
Fuck this.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So that was it. That's it. It's my best, worst, last, and only formal school dance that I've ever been to. 7th grade. Nothing ever happened with Nashley, by the way.
What's crazy is that you love to dance.
Exactly. Yeah, I do love to dance.
Yeah.
And you've paid to get into a dance club before.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know those people. Like, I know the people in my school. I'm like, that
dude's
a dick.
And those are assholes. Yeah, they're a-holes.
That guy's an a-hole. I hate that dude. Why? I hate you.
But he could have footloosed him and fucking, like, showed him how well you dance. And they would have been like, they wouldn't know what to do.
What? What am I impressing them for? I was way too punk rock for that, even with the mullet.
That Regan, and Ashley Mannersnatch would be like, "Oh, Regan's the best.
Let's hold hands."
Yeah.
Man, do you guys remember how awesome holding hands was?
Oh yeah.
And then you'd get kind of hard.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing we don't think about it.
At Olive Garden,
Because it's like, you're like, oh, let's go to Olive Garden.
Yeah, because it's a nice
day. It's a nice restaurant, and you hold hands, you're like, oh, fuck.
And you're like, okay, I don't want to, like, you know, embarrass myself and order something weird, and, like, I'll just get spaghetti. And then she's all like, well, I'll get the mussels with fucking wine sauce and shit. And you're like,
getting the freaking tour of Italy, bro.
Yeah.
And I ate Benjamin when I was in seventh grade.
Yeah, I was a fucking fart factory.
And you say, don't say something stupid. Oh, I like Tetris.
You know, these breadsticks are endless, like my love for you.
Shit, goddammit. Shit. Shit.
But ma'am, do you charge for these refills? She's had three.
Jess, tell us about your...
Also, seventh grade Valentine's dance. Yeah. And the thing about this formal dance is that it's a sequel. See, it doesn't count as formal because this is a sequel scenario to the Halloween dance. And this was at Poe Middle School, seventh grade. I wouldn't say this person's real name, but let's just call her Angel Vasquez. And... Angel Vasquez had a crush on, well, just to kind of like protect the people involved in it, she had a crush on Jesse Napstro. And Jesse Napstro, recycling his Mario costume from sixth grade, dressed up as Roger Rabbit for seventh grade.
He didn't wear the hat.
Yeah. So it was just like making super good use of those red overalls.
That's actually pretty genius, man.
That's really good.
That's really smart.
That's really good.
Now I'm picturing Roger Rabbit and Mario. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, totally made. Just take the mustache off, put some bunny ears in, your Roger Rabbit.
So my Roger
Rabbit. God damn it.
Fuck. It's my fucking red overalls, dude. You can be so many people.
Yeah.
You can be Arthur.
Yeah. So the red overalls, it was just red overalls, white stuff. I had rabbit ears. And to really sell that I was Roger Rabbit, I had a small stuffed Roger Rabbit inside the pocket of the overalls.
You did the whole explain my costume.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I had regular white gloves. They weren't like cartoonishly large. It was low rent. Well, anyways, at the Halloween dance, I was goaded into, Jesse Napstro was goaded into dancing with Angel Vasquez at the seventh grade because it was that scenario of like, go dance with her. She's got a crush on you. And it was vice versa. Like her friends telling you that I had a crush on her. And then the whole thing is I didn't have a crush on her. That was kind of like wrong. I felt bad. It was kind of like an ouch scenario.
Is she a great big fat person?
No, she was a very, she's like a gym teacher.
Oh,
I mean,
I'm flattered.
I mean, she's handsome.
She wore her older brother's hand-me-down as well.
So after sophomore,
she was Mario the year that I was Roger Rabbit.
Right, but she didn't need a fake mustache.
Yeah,
please. Continue.
Well, anyways, I'm sorry. So that's not the formal. The sequel is the formal because that was the Valentine's dance thing. So it was like awkward dance at Halloween because it was like, we both weren't into it.
You're both hiding your boners.
But Valentine's dance. I'm sorry. Jesse Napstro and Angel Vasquez were in this dance, and Jesse Napstro was feeling the same kind of like, well, this isn't for me. But the sequel, she was like really like blushing, like visually blushing, and she had like clammy hands. It was the weird
because she saw fucking Ashley Anderson behind you,
and so it's best and worst, because going back to the whole Olive Garden, you know, scenario of a girl hold your hands and you're a kid, it's still special.
Absolutely.
And you still feel like so at first I was kind of like, oh man, don't make me fucking no, and everyone's like, no, go do it because you belong together, boo boo boo, and I'm like, oh no, Jesse Napstro won't abide by this. And so we danced, and that was kind of like why it was simultaneously good and bad, because I didn't like it, but my the whole puberty boy holding a girl still was like, oh, I can actually enjoy this,
and your mind was telling you no,
But your body was telling you yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of bump and grind.
Yeah. And so that was the thing. And I bring up Olive Garden because, like, down the road, we're in high school and we moved to a different school. She was continuing to crush on me, but, like, got my number through Fens. And so we talked, like, on the phone and everything as she was going through high school and was really, like, nervous to ask. And she asked me out and I was like, sure, I'll give it a shot. And it was like a date at Olive Garden and totally fucking stood me up. So
what? She was embarrassed because she eats manicotti.
Yeah, so I took my Olive Garden budget and just blew it away at Tilt at the fucking River Center. So all's well, it's fine.
So guys, we know that all of you went to formal, so I'd like a little bit more answers than the fucking Sun answer. So please go to the microphone, let us know, please contribute, because we know you've been to
or if
dances.
You got my back and you were like, screw that, you can come up there and talk about
justify
it. Alfred Perez says, during senior prom, some people from my class stopped by the store while I was working to get some stuff. Closest I have ever been to a formal dance. Carrie Reyes says, prom, spent way too much money on a dress, tux, tickets, etc., etc. Was there for about 45 minutes, had an awful time, had more fun getting laid behind the bushes in the back of the hotel.
Jesus.
See?
Christ,
that's how you do it. Don't cost no money to do that. And you're
sweet love. Like, while that song's playing. Every
Anita Baker?
Yeah, every...
What year is this?
Doesn't matter.
That's
timeless.
Jess was in middle school.
It's timeless.
It was a...
Yeah. Oh, they every, give your love away. Every prom date where virginity is lost, I picture...
Sweet love.
Bridget Holly says, went to prom with my ex, who spent most of the time with his new girlfriend. Good times. That's on you, Bridget.
Banging her behind the bushes.
Angel. Angel.
Oh.
Baeza. Or we don't know. It's Facebook. It
could
be.
Yeah, fake last name.
Or they got married. My school.
It doesn't matter. I change names for the people of my story.
Oh, true.
So
anyway, they say, my school had an Islamic administration. My date was forced to wear a shawl/scarf. This thing because you weren't allowed to show shoulders at prom. She almost got kicked out.
Oh, damn.
Tori Poole says, prom, as a teacher, I was the only one of the chaperones that was drunk. Actually, today's my school's prom, by the way.
Oh, it is it? Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. I'm sorry, you skipped it.
Man, sweet love.
Come on, guys. Yeah. Richard Morgan says, dancing at the Kildich in Glasgow, whatever that is. He's from Glasgow. Fueled by whiskey, not knowing any of the dances really, but just reeling around in circles like with this girl I liked. Was managing to keep moving in the right direction, but a rugby player went in a circle the wrong way and accidentally elbowed me right in the face.
I was
laid out on the floor in a tuxedo, stunned and trying to avoid making eye contact with the contents of the kilt swirling around above my head.
Oh man. All balls.
Yeah.
Are you sure that's just not a series of Dropkick Murphy lyrics and not like an actual answer?
It might be. It could be. That would be perfect song.
He just copy and pasted from like
from the soundtrack of The Departed. Yeah, from Can't Get Hard.
From the song Shiver Me Timbers or whatever the fuck's going on.
That's Shiver Me. Travis K says,
eat shit potatoes, you Mick.
Larry. Travis K says, best was my first dance with Ashley when we got married.
Oh fuck it. Shut the fuck.
Worst. Worst was senior prom, dancing with my girlfriend as I watched the girl that I had truly liked for years dance with her big gorilla of a boyfriend. Proms are stupid, but if that were a good experience, I'd never have my best dance experience at all. So I'm happy it's my worst.
Sweet love. Well, it's funny because I spent my prom like watching like a marathon of Jackie Chan movies. Sweet love. So that's also like, yeah. Well, anyways.
I saw my first bestiality porn after prom.
Wow. Nicholas Lucero says, my date and I actually dressed like the demonic couple in the picture from the
I didn't go
full red face like this guy, though. Kind of disrespectful. Snuck off to the choir room to raise some hell, but got caught as I started unzipping. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Yeah. I posted that couple because they're awesome. It's a couple of like, it's this prom couple, and the girl's wearing this like red sparkly dress, and her boyfriend's dressed like Satan. I thought it was fucking great. Yeah, they're awesome.
All right, so we only have one audience member. I think we could do better than that. So let's go ahead, Justin. What do you got?
In seventh grade, I took me and my date to, well, it's kind of like in the gymnasium type thing. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
In a gymnasium, and we're sitting at a table, and some hood people were like, throwing Jolly Ranchers at us.
Oh, that's nice. And, that's a nice thing in the hood.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I wanted to kind of like show my date that I was kind of cool, tough. And I went up and was like, hey, guys, fuck off.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
They followed me to the restroom and beat the shit out of me.
Oh, wow.
I remember it was brutal. I was like coming back tearing in front of my date, which actually ended up helping. Cause
yeah,
like,
right.
Oh, yeah. Because
she was like, man.
Girls are very codependent.
Oh, man. Made me feel good, shitty, but you know what?
It's the best and worst at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Man. Taste the rainbow, man. That's Skittles.
That is Skittles. Yeah. Jolly Rancher.
So my senior year, I had a huge crush on one of my friends for like 3 years, and I thought about asking her out, but I was like semi seeing this other girl, and I asked the girl who I was like unsure whether we were dating or not out to the prom, and she said yes, and then my friend afterwards was like, yeah, I totally would have gone with you, and I was like, fuck. So come to find out on prom night that my date didn't like dancing at all.
Aww.
And so we sat down like by fires like making s'mores, which I don't like at all.
Like, man, I was gonna say that's cool, but
and she didn't want to even talk the whole time.
And so did you see the girl that you like dancing?
No, she didn't go.
Hell yeah.
Because I didn't ask her.
Oh. You should have taken both of them.
Yeah, probably. But
it's that never-ending cycle of like when sure when to ask, and then you asked the wrong person, and they'd reject you. And then the person you didn't ask, they're like, oh, I wish you would have asked me. And then
it's high school, man.
Had to fuck up your whole life.
Always bet on black, man.
And then you're like 42, but, 42 years old, still playing Tetris.
Came to find out that the girl I took to prom was sleeping with at least two of my friends.
That's
nice.
Yeah. But like all of us thought that like we were the one dude for her, and we were like, no, the other guy's making it up. No, like none of us believed it, so we were all dummies.
That's good. And Eskimo brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I only learned what that was about 2 years ago. I thought that was the title of Ice Climbers.
For those of you who don't know what the term Eskimo brothers is, when multiple guys had sex with the same woman, not at the same time,
but while you're touching your eyelashes with each other.
Yeah. Nose.
Oh.
Noses. Yeah, nose.
I like eyelashes.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are butterfly kisses. Oh, hi. And your name?
My name's Jess.
Jess.
Hi, Jess.
Hey. Another Jess. Thank you for answering. What is your favorite or worst formal dance experience?
So I never had a date to prom or homecoming, so I went with like my girlfriends.
Yeah.
And so we are on our way back from Fazoli's.
Nice.
And my friend had a 1983 El Camino silver with navy blue pinstripes.
Keeps
and it was
better.
It was a sweet ride, but the gas gauge didn't work. So we were on our way to the dance, and we ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And so we had to like walk to the gas station from the highway and get gas.
Informal
attire. So Jesus. It was really windy that night, and she ended up like not spending the extra $2 on an actual like nozzle gas can. So we were putting the gas in the Camino, and all this gas like blew downwind on us. Oh. So we rolled into homecoming smelling like straight gas, and nobody wanted to dance with us because we smelled like shit.
But you'll get some horrible nicknames after that.
All that fire would have blown you up, girl.
Nobody wants to dance with the gas girls over there.
Yeah, because they're like, fuck, they smell like Fazoli.
Oh, Fazoli's. We need more Fazoli's.
Hey, Amber, please.
Hi. So, worst one. Only one. Worst one. Senior prom. So, it was me and my best friend. We went with two guy best friends. My best friend is actually totally lesbian, was pretending to not be a lesbian because her family was like, don't do that.
Yeah, dance with
or Christian. Don't do that. Yeah. So, yeah, so us best friends went with two best friends. We went to prom. Three fucking bitches were in my dress. Ugh. I look cuter.
Of course.
I was like real thin back then, so
yeah.
I look the best.
We all were.
I didn't get to fucking dance. We took pictures. My date was like 6'5". we just wanted to go back to the hotel, get real fucking high.
Yeah.
And the guys were like, and then we're going to fuck. And I was like, no, we're not going to fuck. And so, aww, sorry, I just want to get high. And
she's classy. She's waiting for the bushes.
Exactly.
Hotel room.
I was totally a virgin until I had my kid at 19.
It's
so,
the only proof. He's a child.
I was a virgin. So we get to the hotel that the older guy got for us because he was already graduated. And someone complained there were some teenagers in the hotel room. And so security comes and is like, oh, how old is everybody? And everyone's like, we're all 18. And he looks at me. And he's like, I doubt you're 18. I was like, I'm 17.
Oh,
and then everyone got pissed off. Everyone got pissed off at me. And he still made me show my ID. And they're like, why did you say 17? I was like, he didn't fucking believe me already. He thought I was like a baby. Which,
right.
I mean, I get it. So we got kicked out. The boys got pissed and they left us for a Trinity party. So fuck Trinity. Fuck boys.
The college?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they left us by ourselves, like outside. We're in like prom dresses at 1 a.m. I had to walk to like a fucking Bolero. We had Whataburger. I don't know when we stopped at Whataburger, but we had Whataburger.
Yeah, because
it's a good spot. Yeah,
sure. Because you're high.
That's right. I wasn't high yet.
Okay.
There was no getting high. That's why it was the worst. And then I had to call my mom. It was like one of those super duper strict Mexican ladies where you can't do anything ever. So it was like a big deal that I didn't have to be home till the next day. I was real fucking pissed that I was home at like 1 or 2 a.m.
But you got home just like she likes it.
Yes. So it was the worst. And I never did prom again.
That was depressing as fuck. Have a seat. Yeah. Thanks for bumming everybody out.
Well, it's the worst experience.
For all it's the worst. That sucks. That really sucks. But at least you didn't smell like Fazoli. So my apologies to you, Jess. And, you know, I hope that never happens again. And you know what? Sir, to your man sitting next to you, take her out to some good Italian.
Fazoli's.
Olive Garden. No, take her to Olive Garden and tell her
come on.
That these breadsticks are never ending like my love for
only
you.
Only the best.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be an Italian restaurant where you have crayons and you can draw on the table.
Exactly.
That's a real
Zio's?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
A hide the engagement ring in the wedding soup. It's
in the breadstick.
In the breadstick,
so you're like, what? And then you got a fucking Heimlich maneuver, and then the fucking ring comes out and goes, will you marry me? And she's all like, oh.
Call a doctor.
Yeah. Exactly. So, guys, if you all have kids, if you have daughters and stuff, you know, like, make sure they're okay. Make sure that they don't. Make sure they have gas. Make sure they, you know, eat properly. Make sure that they carry a bag with tennis shoes in it, and they wear shorts underneath their dresses. If you have boys, buying condoms, man, tell them to get fucking. So, So if you have kids, man, you know, fuck it, parenting. Something bad's gonna happen. Yeah. Rainbow condoms? Yeah, Daisy Rainbow. Yeah, you should have blew the cop. He would have let you go. Yeah, so, don't have kids.
Yeah. Real quick, because it's fresh in my mind. I don't want to lose it. Fazoli's reminded me that there should be an action movie with Jason Statham, and he's an Italian assassin, and the movie's called The Italian Sampler. And he's like, you're going to need some takeout. And then he just fucking chops, karate chops, like five, like...
Megalodons. He's still fighting megalodons
and
for some
like
reason.
Captain America's like, I could do this all day. He's all like, these punches are never ending.
Anyways, Jason Statham, the Italian Sampler, rated R.
Never ending punches.
Never ending punches, rated R.
All right, people, it's time for my segment. It's called Hey, That's Not Funny, where I talk about stuff that is not funny at all, like science and technology, and this is a doozy.
Yeah.
All right, this comes out of the Rochester Institute of Technology. This March, they invented a toilet seat that detects congestive heart failure, and they're getting ready to begin commercialization of it. So these researchers have developed a toilet seat, ladies and gentlemen. A toilet seat that can monitor heart rate, blood pressure, blood oxygenation levels, and a patient's weight and stroke volume. Whatever that means.
Yeah, dude.
Well, I don't know what these people are doing on the toilets.
2 o'clock in the morning, that's a high stroke volume. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
That's what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Talking about.
Sweet love.
Coming on turds, right?
That's a good
coming on turds.
Yeah,
ladies.
Yeah, ladies. We come on our shit.
They call it Cinnabon.
Come on our own shit.
This is a good stroke value.
Yeah.
Anyway, it measures that. Oh, sorry. I should have just kept reading. I should have just kept reading because the next sentence tells you what stroke volume is. It isn't jacking off on the toilet, which we all thought it was.
Coming on turns. Rated R.
Stroke volume is actually the amount of blood pumped out of the heart at every beat. So it's kind of the same thing.
Jerk it off. Yeah.
Anyway, algorithms analyze the data and tell you if you've got a chance of getting congestive heart failure. So
yeah, I got a chance of stroking.
Well, this is not funny, people. This is science. This is modern technology. They're getting ready to ship these off to hospitals everywhere for only $500,000
each.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I have a breakdown. It's just a lot of money. Come on. This is Rochester Institute of Technology, man. This is high-tech stuff.
Start
anyway,
man.
Not funny stuff at all, guys. So it just led me to my question, which is if you can invent a new toilet seat, what special thing does it do? Well, my toilet seat, it's real simple. At first I was like, take care of the smell. But I don't mind. You know, everyone's – it's going to smell. But for me – what mine does is it monitors how close people are in the vicinity of the restroom and then automatically turns on the volume of the nearest Bluetooth speaker and starts playing music.
But what if your Bluetooth is connected to the porn that you're watching because of your stroke
That's your
volume?
Problem. No.
But I have it on mute, but my Bluetooth connects to full volume.
Well, what my toilet seat does.
And it's just like.
It's like, oh, slammy stepbrother.
Yeah, exactly. Because I have it on mute, so it doesn't bother me.
Because you mute that the thing that breaks the.
Yeah.
Here's what. My toilet seat.
Come on me before mom gets home. And you're like, why does porn do that now?
My toilet seat automatically has a subscription to Spotify. And
okay, all right, there you go. There you go. I'm like, where you going?
Right. Yeah. So you sit down, it monitors through whatever it sees how close people are, how loud it needs to be played so that no one can hear you if you're going to just rip one.
Yeah.
You know? So it plays probably like top 40 hits or baby shower mix or something like that. Whatever you want it to play, it plays that music
offset.
Just loud enough so that people can't hear the terrible, terrible noise that is going on.
Not everyone has terrible noise when they shit.
That's why it's my toilet seat, goddammit. You buy yours, I'm buying mine.
Yeah, dude.
I can light my own matches. What I can't do is automatically determine how loud I need that volume to be.
I shit like Rainbow Six, man. I shit like a Tom Clancy novel. Like, you fucking don't see it coming.
You live
dude.
With me. Yeah. I mean, you guys all know. I've done it.
It's not a ninja because ninjas are fast. This is just a fucking special ops turd just going down.
It makes the same sound.
It just comes out like that and then cummed on.
Oh, mine's like a shotgun in an 80s movie. It's just
I know. It's not healthy, man.
Just eight quick shots.
Yeah,
that's just
and I'm done.
A Coscarone on a sidewalk. That's how you shit.
Yeah, sounds like a British man laughing.
I don't need the squatty potty or nothing. Like
the sound it makes when you take a shit is when somebody laughs in a place that they're not supposed to because it just sounds like.
It's like.
So if I was able to invent a toilet seat, what I would do is it's kind of like a bidet, right? But like a power wash bidet to clean off the shit stains that have resided on the sides of your butt cheeks.
Like
a petty egg. Like, you know, jock itch goes all around your pelvic area. So it would detect the level of fungi that looks like shit stains, and it would be like a power wash bidet.
It's like you're cleaning the sidewalk.
And
but
then
it's
also you have the option for a prostate exam / massage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. You know, so guys that are kind of scared, you know, of butt play and stuff like that. Because the thing is.
You wouldn't want it to actually just wipe, like really get in there.
No, because that's actually unhealthy.
Okay. So.
To do that.
So
but,
it's going
to
massage.
It's like, it's water,
spray, then
but then
massage.
It checks your prostate to make sure everything's good. And if everything's
And while
good,
your stroke volume's going
and
good.
Yeah, exactly. And so you can come on turds without touching your dick.
Nice. Okay. All right, that's yours, man. That's
God invented a boner button in our butts for a reason. So, like, that's why homosexuals
were
born that way.
So mine is like a step up. Like, it's a step down, but a step up from the original, like, you know.
Heart rate monitor?
Yeah, the power rate monitor, the stroke
Stroke volume.
Stroke meter or whatever. Mine is very voice activated but pressure sensitive, and it's voiced by me. I'm the voice of the seat. So when you come into the seat and you sit down the seat, it goes, "Hey, man." And it's me. Because here, now here's
to you?
Yeah, whoever's got the whoever you're the toilet
but
seat.
But you buy no, this no, and it's you.
He's franchising.
No, I'm like franchising. I'm the voice of every toilet seat, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Moen.
You're the Siri of the toilet
seat. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you sit on the seat. Hey, man. and it has multiple greetings. Now, the reason why is because the thing about toilets and people sitting on toilets that's become less healthy over the period of time is that people spend too much time on the toilet because they're sitting there stroking on the phone, coming on turds or whatever the fuck, right? And they're there for too long, and it's not good for the back. It's not good for the butt. It's not good for the legs. It's definitely not good for your turds unless you have a squatty potty. But people don't want to buy the squatty potty because that's ridiculous. They buy my seat, which is not ridiculous, and it's basically a nice, healthy reminder to remind you that you're still there. So when you sit down, you're like, hey, man, it actually mentally goes, I don't want to be here anymore with my seat talking to me. So it's you're
like,
there.
Like Netflix.
It's exactly like Netflix. That's where I'm getting at. So you're sitting there and you're taking your shit and you're on your phone. You're like, oh, like which Harry Potter school am I at based on the type of lasagna I like? And you're there on the fifth one. Which Game of Thrones character are you based on the ice cream you like?
Based on your Fazoli's order.
And you're there. And then the toilet seat goes, hey, man. You're still here.
Yeah.
Do you want to be here? Because I'm here with you. And then, like, mentally, you're like, you have to respond. You have to go, yeah, I'm still here. And then, because if you don't,
I'm satisfied with my care.
Yeah, I just get more irate. You're still here. Get off the toilet.
Oh, wow.
Do you want me to make the noises? And I just get really obnoxious.
This passive aggressive toilet
seat. Yeah, and so like you have to go, okay, I'm getting up. And then you have to get up and you basically, it's just a healthy reminder by let's up. So like when you flush and you go, oh, okay, well now that you're done, your heart rate is this, your strike meter is this.
A Baymax toilet.
Yeah, and yeah. I see that your turds are green. Maybe you should go to the doctor. Maybe you should eat more or less greens. Maybe you should eat this and that. So based on the color of your stool, which my toilet seat actually kind of scans,
nice.
Yeah. It basically like registers your health. So it's not just some gimmicky,
Yeah. Except for the fact that when you hit flush, it doesn't make a flush noise. It goes, nom, 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 nom.
If I bought that, it would go, hey, man, hey, where are you going? Because I'd be done very quickly.
You flush, it goes, oh, yeah, yeah. It just does a rocker yell. And, you know, but yeah, definitely, I'm the voice of the toilet. Very low cost, $20 a pop.
Dig it.
Dig it.
Dig what the toilet, like Siri and Alexa, right? So this would be.
It's called Seats.
It'd be Seats. Yeah, that's adorable, seats. Not
yeah.
Jess.
Yeah, the acronym. I'll come up with the acronym later, but it's SEATS.
Seats. Like, I like it.
Shit eat.
Stool. And, yeah. Stool examining.
So you're like, yeah. Seats. Order toilet paper.
Right. Seats. Make me sushi.
Yes.
So
seats,
if
turn
you guys,
the heater on.
Let us know if you could invent your own toilet seat.
Because it has all that stuff. Seat warmer, seat cooler. Basically, you're still comfortable, but it's just me. All
right. Facebook answers. Buckwild says, I don't know if it's been marketed yet, but I've always liked using the real nice wooden ones as a picture frame for hanging up portraits of people you don't like in the hallway.
Yeah, that's funny.
Alfred Perez says, it would make a heavy lifting sound like, oof, or oh, sweet God, every time you sit on it.
It help you lose weight.
Diana McCrehan, our female friend, says it cups your balls and asks you to cough and gives you a prostate exam.
Fucking
that's a good answer, Diana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg Rasputin says it'll eat her butt.
It's a butt-eating toilet seat.
Okay. Carrie Reyes says...
But that's a feature on my toilet.
It's like, eat the booty gang.
Carrie Reyes says, bangs my butt for me. Like, that's the word she used. Bangs
but
my butt.
My seat does all these things, but
it's
my
voice. How can he shit if it's full of cock?
I don't know. Angel Beza says, heats up a bowl of ramen noodle soup to share. Why not? Richard Morgan says, screams really loud when you sit on it. It's a prank toilet seat. Zandy like says, records the quality of your farts to detect IBS. All right.
Oh, nice.
Oh, there he is.
Samson Portillo says, USB for phone charging and Wi-Fi. He spends a very long time.
But he's not fucking doing anything dirty. He just wants to fucking binge watch and shit.
He was to finish watching Punisher season
instead
3.
Of Netflix and chill. It's Netflix and shit.
Milo says every time you fart, it would ask who farted. Hashtag Jesus Mendoza.
That's like goddamn right.
Travis K says, a magic toilet seat that prevents your legs from falling asleep after looking at your phone for too long.
But if Ashley had her way, that's his wife, had her way, it would be a toilet seat that shocks you off of it after a couple minutes.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah. Nicholas Lucero says, if toilets don't have Wi-Fi, can't vibrate, and don't measure my craps by 2020, then America's not heading in the direction that I can be proud of.
Good for you.
There you go.
I like it.
So, yeah.
So, audience answers. David.
All right. Let's see. What kind of toilet seat you making?
So I'm all on board with Jess's idea, but it doesn't have to be his voice. If it could be Mr. Toilet Man from Look Who's Talking To, and just have Mel Brooks' voice.
I love to pee in the poop.
I would be all for it. Yeah. Yeah.
Terrifying.
That's actually what I asked my hookers to say.
Feed me pee.
Feed me that pee. Oh, okay. No. You have the clip on your phone. No, like this. Say it like this.
Say it like this. Feed me that pee. It's like 20 bucks.
My toilet would be the gash cap, and you just lift up the toilet seat. You lift up the toilet seat and the lights go and there's music.
Bam!
And then when you put it down, it's like, it's me, bitch. But then but then when you're on it, it'll clean your diva cup for you. So.
Yeah, oh, wow. Nice. Yeah,
tying it all together.
Circle.
But in the tradition of Gash Cab, like he does this really bad, hey, where you going today? Beer! Hey, it's me, it's Gash Cab!
You're like holding your dick down to piss. They're like, tell us the first four presidents of the United States. Oh, okay.
Because you have a boner and you're holding down your piss, and you're pissing everywhere through the seat.
Like that. Like,
God damn it.
You ever
when you have a boner and you're trying to piss, what happens is that your dick's straight and then you're...
And you sit down.
The crack between the seat and the toilet, you piss through that seat. So you're like, when you see like a guy's toilet, like, how is there piss underneath the seat? It's because he's got half chub and he's pissing.
You don't know what kind of hell we have to go through.
It sucks. Like, I know women's restrooms, but you sit down for peeing and pooping. But if we have to poop and we're sitting there fucking rock hard.
Because there's stroke volumes.
Well, no, but sometimes you got to jerk off to get soft so you can go on with your day.
Oh, God. Wow.
Yeah, the necessity is like, God, dude, how am I going to get rid of this? You know, I need to take a piss.
Your stroke valve. Oh, my God. All right. Yeah. Yes, your answer,
man.
Please.
I have a lonely life.
Next answer.
Thanks for spoiling the end of Avengers Endgame for me.
Spoiler alert.
Captain America, no.
This is the only way.
I'm a 90-year-old virgin. Give me the gauntlet.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Top that, bastard.
For real. I came back from Houston today, and you know how they have the Bucky signs? It's like, don't shit for 200 miles?
Yeah. Yeah.
You could hold it. So if I could get one of those bad boys installed in my car, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can be dropping dumps, and I have the check engine light, so if that could, you know, just...
But if your car ran on methane gas...
Oh, yeah.
Then boom.
Yep, you just dipstick, and you're like, we're good to go.
Yeah, I like it. So, Regan...
So, yeah, guys, come on. Electronic toilets. That's not funny.
Serious business.
That's serious.
Yeah. Serious business.
So, did you guys have fun tonight? So, if you weren't fully aware, and if this is your first time at the podcast, you would understand that this is an educational program. So, what we like to do at the end of every podcast is to ask our audience and ourselves what we came to know. With this episode, what made you come to learn something about yourself, about the world, or just life in general? So if you learned something today, please, especially our new people, go out to the microphone, let us know what you learned today, and we'll let you know first. Jess, what did you come to know?
Come to know that I'm a fan of Anita Baker. It's like one of those unappreciated things. It's like, oh, I love Anita Baker, but I just don't have any of her songs on my phone. And maybe I just need to get her greatest hits. I really, really like Anita Baker. That's what I came to know. Self-discovery.
I came to know a few things. I came to know that fucking Carnage comes out on Venom thanks to Samson. I came to know that someone doesn't survive. That someone doesn't survive a Megalodon. And so I don't have to watch The Meg. And I also came to know that Spirited Away is repurposing racist piggy banks to profit off of unassuming non-racist nerds. So I came to learn a lot of stuff.
I think this is one of the few times where I actually have come to know something from my own my answer? Own answer, which is what stroke volume is.
Yeah.
We came to know that.
I did not know what stroke volume is. It's while on the toilet seat, it is the amount of blood pumped out of the heart at every beat. I guess not while you're on the toilet seat. It just measures your stroke volume.
Stroke.
Yeah, so that's what stroke volume is, baby. We have any answers?
Stroke.
Loving every minute of it.
Nope.
It's the same song.
Loving every minute of it. Stroke.
Oh, yeah.
Stroke.
I'm just like letting it ride out. I'm like.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Tori Poole.
Hi. I came to know that those flecks of piss on the top of the rim, like those were.
Oh, yeah.
Those aren't our fault. I didn't know that, dude. I thought it was like off spray or like.
No, that.
Like splash up. And I was like, whoa, that's like really directionally. Like,
Yeah.
That also contributes to the piss stains that fall down the toilet in the front.
Yeah.
It's because home toilets don't have that spacer.
For masturbating?
For boner placement.
There should be like a cup.
There should be a Devo cup. Devo cup so you can bleed into. Yeah, for your dick. Anyone else come to know anything or did no one learn shit?
Come on, guys.
Come on, we all had to learn
something. You knew that popcorn could offset the Earth's...
In Japan, they have, like, in public restrooms, they have these kind of, like, gimmicky game ones that if you piss in the urinal, like, for men, the pissing in the urinal is a game.
Yeah, so they have
like,
it in Vegas, actually.
Oh, really, dude? Yeah. So, like, the more you piss, it's kind of like a Dragon Ball Z, like, Kamehameha, where, like, it's, like, one beam versus the other. So the more you piss, the guy's going, I like that in my bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So people with bad prostates will never win. So, guys, thank y'all for tuning in. Just where can people find us, follow us, and listen to this podcast later?
As per usual, thank you so much for coming in and showing up to our show and listening to us on oneofus.net, is a place where you can get our podcast, past, future, present, all over the place. You can also go to comediaagogo.com, learn about all of our stuff. We do sketches, we do films, we do stand-up comedy, we do all kinds of stuff, and we do this podcast, Public Access, every third Friday here at the Blind Tiger Comedy Club. Be our friend on Facebook at our Public Access Happy Campers Facebook page. Be a friend, be a fan. Thank you.
So if you can't make the live podcast, please answer on our Facebook group, the Public Access Happy Campers. And also follow us on Instagram, Grandpa.
That's right.
You can follow us at ComediaAgogo. That's two A's in a row.
Hashtag Instagood.
And follow all of us at My Neighbor Jess, at Ray Augusto. And follow me at Larry Garza Comedy. And see where I'm going to be doing stand-up. So I'm going to be doing stand-up somewhere soon in a theater near me. So... thank you all for tuning in to another edition of Comedia Go-Go's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll megalodon you later.
That's me, bitch.
Here comes the fun. Here comes the fun.